It is officially WrestleMania week. This is Ruthless Aggression. I am Pierce, not on the road to WrestleMania. Rob and Chris are not on the road to WrestleMania either because we love LA. We absolutely love LA. It is a wonderful city to not have to drive around in for a weekend and go to multiple shows that are every which way, wasting money on top of the wasting money from any weekend.
So yep.
We're at home. We're going to be chilling. And I'm perfectly fine with that.
Yeah, me too. You know, for the reasons you outlined. Plus, like, I don't know, just the two-night mania, I don't know if I ever really want to do one. It's just, it seems like a lot. You know, we went to Raw last week, and the whole next day, I was, like, exhausted. So maybe I'm just washed now.
I fully admit I'm washed. I don't have the energy to keep up. I'm talking to one of my friends, one of my coworkers, and we're talking, and we're just like, yo, the way we used to do shit when we were kids, when we hang out with young folks, we can't do the same shit that we used to. We watch them and they're like, yeah, let's pound beers. Let's take shots, bro. We can't do that anymore. I'm sitting here and we were walking up to the camera before the show. I pulled out another Heineken Light just in case the Heineken Light that I'm drinking right now goes empty, which it probably will. And I'm consciously trying to stay away from IPAs, stay away from heavier beers, stay away from beers that probably carry a lot too many calories. You know, like these are the things that I have to think about now that I'm in my 30s and that I'm washed. This is a good Heineken Light, if you're thinking about it. All right. We got WrestleMania. We got NXT Stand and Deliver. We're going to make predictions. We're going to go over the whole card after we go back to 2007, and we'll just take care of some filler Raw, SmackDowns, and ECWs leading up to WrestleMania 23, Ford Field, Detroit. Interesting enough, that's the last big show in Detroit. They just released the logo for SummerSlam upcoming in Detroit. Yeah,
they did.
Are you guys interested? Are you guys thinking about going out to Detroit for that?
Yes, to an extent. So I'm either, we're going to go to that, or I know the Cubs are up there later in August and they play the Tigers, and it'll save a lot of money if I just go to that instead. But yeah, either way, I would like to go to one of them. I know SummerSlam tickets come out like in the next couple weeks, and you know, based on how things have been going, they sell fast now. So it's like, if I don't get them, whatever, I'll just go for Cubs Tigers. But yeah, it's interesting enough. Like, it's cool that Detroit's getting a big event, and I would say I'm interested if it works out.
Listen, as much as we talk about... Sorry, go ahead, Chris.
I think it probably will work out. I think that... SummerSlam, this is the second time in... it's the third consecutive year that's at an NFL stadium.
Yeah, which I don't love.
Was at Allegiant, then it was at LP.
Because they don't use the full setup.
Whatever you want to call it. Nissan. And now, obviously, they're at Ford Field.
Yeah.
I like it. I think, you know, the way that it came off at Mania 23, the vibes were very nice. Obviously, stadium hasn't really changed that much. I've never heard a bad thing about it.
Yeah.
I've never heard, like, anything like exceedingly great, but I feel like with NFL stadiums, you kind of...
My problem with WWE shows and NFL stadiums is it's just too big. Like, it doesn't really hit like it should, I don't think, but... You know, and you get kind
of... But this is the thing here. When it comes to Ford Field, I don't think there's much of a difference between them running Ford Field and running the Alamo Dome.
That's fair.
Because it's an enclosed stadium.
I don't think you're wrong.
Ford Field doesn't even have a retractable roof. It's an enclosed stadium.
That's fair. It's also, like, the lights, if you're higher than the floor level, shine right in your eyes the whole time is a problem.
I mean, but that's also just something that you got to deal with.
Yeah.
You know, a big show. Like,
that's true.
It is what it is.
Yeah, so we'll see. I mean, it's cool for Detroit.
It is very cool for Detroit. That's their last big event since the 09 Rumble. And obviously the last big
Not even a SummerSlam? Damn.
No, they never got a SummerSlam because LA had SummerSlam from 09 through 14.
That's right.
And then Brooklyn had it from 15 through 18. And then, like,
I guess mentally, Survivor Series.
Nashville.
Yeah, and then Survivor Series, 2006? Was it 2005 or 2006? Yeah.
was in the Joe and Opa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then they just didn't go back. Survivor Series.
Their last pay-per-view there, I'm pretty sure, was Hell in a Cell 17 at Little Caesars. It was the first big event at Little Caesars. So I'm pretty sure that was their last big event.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Detroit's due. As much shit as we talk about Detroit, because we're from Chicago, and you know, Detroit. It's a pretty fine city. And this is going to be in the summer where by the time that show ends, it's probably still going to be light outside. I love that. I love that so much. And hey, if this is the biggest event happening in Ford Field for the rest of the year, I'm not mad.
Absolutely.
So, by the way, Rays are in town that weekend. So think about that. You can go to Tigers Rays, 1 o'clock start that Saturday, go right across the street to Ford Field, and then you're at SummerSlam.
That's true. You know, Madonna's there at Little Caesars that night, too. So it's going to be jammed over there.
Big fucking weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just keep the blow away.
Yeah.
Hey, I mean, Taylor Swift was at Allegiant on Friday when they had SmackDown.
That's
they
true.
They actually apparently let people just go to the show and live in Sony.
No, that's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, we can go back to 2007 real quick, get that knocked out.
Yeah, starting with 07 this week, so we're traveling back in time to the middle of March.
Top five songs at number five, Girlfriend by Avril Lavigne. Down to four is What Goes Around Comes Around. Up to three is Sweet Escape. Staying at two is Don't Matter. And staying at number one is This Is Why I'm Hot.
I don't mind the fact that Girlfriend is debuting at number five.
Yeah.
So it's not even that it's been on the charts for a while. This is where it's debuting.
Yes.
Yeah.
Top five movies. Yeah, you know. Ghost Rider's down to five from number three. Zodiac is down to four. Bridge of Terabithia is up to three. Wild Hogs is down to two. And debuting at number one is 300.
Oof.
Good movie.
300 is a really good movie. It's a movie that, at the time, just got a crazy amount of buzz, right?
Yes.
And everyone just remembers the initial scene of Leonidas kicking folks off the hole. It was a star-making performance for Gerard Butler. Who's the director on that?
That was Snyder, I'm pretty sure.
Exactly, yeah. That's a Zack Snyder.
Yeah, that was his first big, that was one of his first big ones.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, really popularized his style, that dark and brooding style of, you know, filmmaking. Real quick, though, do you think 300 has lasted? Like, do you think people still revere and talk about 300 the way that we thought we would?
It's funny because, like, the This Is Sparta meme lasted a really long time, but I haven't seen it in a very long time either.
Yeah, you don't really hear anyone talk about it anymore.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I feel like it was obviously very popular at the time, led into the 2010s. Somewhere along the line, it kind of got lost in the shuffle.
Mm-hmm.
$451 million at the box office. That is a $65 million budget. That is
it's crazy.
Crazy money.
All right. We got Raw from the Verizon Center in Washington, D.C. John Cena's here. Feels the tension. You know, for the past 6 weeks, he's been asking if he trusts Shawn Michaels, when Shawn's going to betray him. He doesn't want to think about it anymore. If Shawn's going to stab him in the back, he's not down with it. But if Shawn wants to come out and do it face-to-face, it's perfectly fine. So Shawn comes out, and Shawn says, you know, told Cena that he was going to protect him and let him get to WrestleMania, and he stands by that because he wants the WWE Championship, and that's his only goal. You know, he's going to keep watching John's back, and he wants to know when John's going to turn on him. He knows that John will do whatever it takes to retain the title. Shawn likes that about him, but Cena's got to understand, as bad as he wants to keep the title, Shawn wants it that much more. Coach comes out, says that they're going to defend their tag titles in a gauntlet match tonight, and if they win the first two matches, the third is a steel cage match. So, good opener there. Donald Trump is here. They're going to do contract signing for the Battle of the Billionaires match. It's unfortunate. Ric Flair versus Carlito versus Randy Orton in our final Money in the Bank qualifying match. Carlito and Flair start off working together. Then Flair goes for figure four. Carlito hits a backstabber on him. Orton throws Carlito out of the ring and hits the RKO on Flair for the pin. It's an elimination match, which you don't realize until after the first fall. So it's Carlito against Randy, and then Randy ultimately wins, and he is the last man in the Money in the Bank match for now.
For now.
Yeah.
Super Crazy did the Master Lock Challenge. He did not succeed. We got a tribute video for the Big Cat Ernie Ladd, who died of cancer on March 10th.
Yep.
Edge and Orton argued over who had the advantage in the Money in the Bank match. And then they got Dwayne The Rock Johnson to do a pre-tape.
Yeah, Battle of the Billionaires pre-tape. First time we've seen him since 2005, 2004, later in
4.
Well, because he came back in Miami.
It was in 4. That was 04.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm trying to remember. Was this the first pre-tape? Because I feel like there was a pre-tape. I don't think there was. I don't think there was a cause for one.
So he did a pre-tape for... He did a lot of them like leading up to the Brock match, but that was 2002, obviously.
Right. Well, I mean, like a non-active, hey, I'm just popping in to say something about so-and-so, because I don't think he came back. I don't think he said anything for like the anniversary shows.
No,
he definitely did.
So this is the first time we've seen him.
The infamous. You know, Rock had just gotten into such a mode for, I guess, the next 4 years. You know, if it wasn't that one Hall of Fame appearance, he's poking in on via satellite.
Mm-hmm.
So big part of his story, I feel like.
Yeah. So we start the gauntlet. We get Cena and Michaels against Haas and Benjamin. Cena tags himself in while Shawn's tuning up the band and puts Charlie in the STFU and gets the win there. Second match is against Caden Murdoch, and Cena goes for the FU, but Shawn hits Sweet Chin Music before he can, and then Cena pins him. So they're trying to one-up each other and get... Cena and Michaels against Eminem in a steel cage match. And since they're in the ring together now, they're just trying to one-up each other even more. Eventually, Shawn hits Sweet Chin Music and Cena hits the FU, and they stare each other down the whole time but still get the pin and retain their titles.
Sure. Jeff Hardy was supposed to face Edge, but the Great Khali was Edge's replacement, and then Kane came out with a meat hook and sent everyone running and destroyed the announce table.
Yeah.
Mr. Fuji is going to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, really good class. Fuji.
Very good class. Melina beat Tori. Edge told Vince tomorrow on ECW Randy should face Bobby Lashley. Edge will be in his corner supporting him, and if Randy doesn't show up, he should be thrown out of the Money in the Bank match.
Yes.
Steaming against him.
And then they do the Battle of the Billionaires contract signing, and it takes the final 25 minutes of the show. So that was raw.
Fairly long.
Yeah. No reason for that, but it's interesting with that match because like they're obviously doing a very good job building it. They got a lot of mainstream buzz, but again, it just aged worse than anyone could have expected it to. Like, by a million times.
Same time though. I guess I don't know. Maybe it is the hindsight goggles, but I feel like you put one billionaire, another supposed billionaire, who we even at the time knew were maniacal, a little bit off, right? So, like, there's still this level of, like, over-glorification of wealth and power and, you know, I don't want to say, like, we knew was going to, because no one knew the path. Trust me, no one fucking knew the path that Donald Trump was going to go on. So it's kind of like no one foresaw what we would end up seeing. But same time, though, was like these two are really just doing this as like a circle jerk, a two-man circle jerk. Yeah. You know, which one is good?
No, I mean, you're not wrong. And like, again, like I said, it got a obviously big amount of mainstream attention. There's a video, I think, next week that we'll talk about a little bit with like all kinds of celebrities and stuff. And I remember them talking about it on like ESPN and stuff. So it was a big deal. Like,
it was, yeah.
But, you know, moved to ECW from Trenton, New Jersey. Randy's mad at Edge for having him face Lashley tonight. Edge says not to worry. He's got his back. Tommy Dreamer wins the Extreme Battle Royal. Mick Foley's here to plug his book and says he'll root for the ECW originals at WrestleMania. Shocking. Snitsky beat two jobbers and then Lashley against Orton. Edge tries to interfere and gets ejected, but as it turns out, he got ejected on purpose. And then Lashley wins with the Dominator, and Vince stares him down after.
Yeah, so that was the whole thing there. And we continue on to SmackDown, also from Trenton. We open with Miz TV featuring Batista. Miz said that WWE Magazine called Batista unstoppable. However, Undertaker is 14-0 at WrestleMania, so he's actually unstoppable. The Undertaker could kick Batista's ass. The lights went out. Taker didn't come out. Miz pulled a fast one. And said Batista said he likes Miz TV, just not the Miz, and he hit Batista bomb, and that's that.
Mm-hmm.
So Miz is getting involved with some champions and some big time players the last few weeks.
Yeah, good for him.
Good for him. Matt Hardy beat Mr. Kennedy. Kennedy told Crystal he's going to win the Money in the Bank ladder match, despite the fact he just lost.
Also, good luck to him.
Yes.
MVP beats the jobber and challenges Chris Benoit for the U.S. title again, and this time Benoit accepts, so that's going to be a match at WrestleMania. Speaking of Chris Benoit, Cena's going to face him on Raw, and Shawn Michaels will face JBL as part of WrestleMania Reversal Night, because Cena faced JBL at WrestleMania, and Michaels faced Benoit before, so JBL's back.
Yeah.
You know, he's not, but... Eminem defeat London, Kendrick, and Ashley, because London and Kendrick only win when the titles are on the line. Booker has to face The Undertaker tonight. Finlay's advice is that he should not do it and just run away. Kane squashed Daivari and dragged him backstage with a meat hook. And I didn't understand why Kane suddenly has a meat hook, but he used it in See No Evil, I guess, which was coming out on DVD around this time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and he needs it to beat Great Khali, because that's a match that we all need.
When in doubt, we'll be.
Yeah, that's fair. Undertaker against Booker T, we get Batista on commentary. He's not letting his guard down, just really observing everything Undertaker's doing. Finlay hits Undertaker with a shillelagh for disqualification, and Finlay and Booker beat him up, but he fights them both off, and then they end up outside, and he pushes Finlay right into Batista, and Batista's not happy. That was SmackDown.
Yes. And now we look forward to next week. Well, actually, I suppose we can start by talking about the big thing in March 2007, which was the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The NCAA tournament began this week. Of course, after a lengthy season, your number one seeds this year were Florida, North Carolina, Ohio State, and Kansas. So we have Florida going for another national championship, UNC back up at the top in the East Regional in East Rutherford. And then we had Ohio State, number one in the South, and number one in the West was Kansas.
You know, I said who was on that North Carolina team, and it's like I just completely forgot my biggest nemesis on planet Earth.
Yes, Hansborough was there.
Yeah.
Danny
Green.
Brandon Wright.
Wayne Ellington. Marcus Gaynard, sophomore year. Bobby Frazier. Danny Green.
Mm-hmm. Marcus Gaynard.
Rayshon Terry is still there. Brandon Wright was a freshman that year. Yeah. Because that was a year after the total collapse in 06. So 07 was pretty solid.
Yeah.
Correct.
Fuck Carolina.
All right. So notable first round action here. We had Purdue beating Arizona in the 9-8 game. Winthrop beating Notre Dame 74-64. That's an 11 seed going over the 6. Going down here, we had VCU defeating Duke 79-77. I believe that that was the Eric Maynard game.
I think it was.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it was.
Yes, it was.
I feel like that was the first of Duke losing to a mid-major they shouldn't be losing to.
Yes, I believe that was. Yep. Michigan State beat Marquette in the 9-8 game in the East region. And then not really a lot of upsets in here. Xavier, 9 seed, beat 8 seed BYU. And then, yeah, mostly a lot of chalk here.
Well, yeah, the double-digit upset becoming commonplace is more of like a past 5 years or so thing from right now.
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't used to happen.
You had your occasional 5-12s, obviously.
Yeah, but now it's like every year you'll get 3 or 4 of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty wild.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's the second-round games. Also that week we had Florida, Butler, Oregon, and UNLV advancing to the Midwest Regional in St. Louis. We had Kansas, Southern Illinois, Pitt, and UCLA advancing to the West Regional in San Jose.
Fucking Salukis.
Yeah, Salukis were a 4 seed. 4 seed.
The Salukis had a nice little era in the mid-2000s.
They did.
Of Missouri Valley Conference. Really good run.
They played Duke at Madison Square Garden. I went to it. It's a 2K Classic. They played Duke
the same night
UCLA played Michigan 2 years later in 2008.
Yeah.
Well, the 2008 start of the season.
Because Illinois is only due for one good team in the state.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
That one time.
I forgot Matt Painter coached Southern Illinois the 1 year.
They did,
One year.
They lost in the first round, of course, because, you know, Matt Painter.
Boy, yeah, that's what
I'm about. And then in the East region, an event that I went to that I'll talk about after this next week, we had UNC, USC, Vanderbilt beating third seed Washington State. So that's a bit of an upset there. And Georgetown beat Boston College. And then we had Ohio State beat Xavier in an epic round of 32 matchup. You've probably seen the Gus Johnson clip a million times.
Yes.
Tennessee beat UVA. Texas A&M beat Louisville. I believe that was in East. That was EC Law and the Aggies. And Memphis beat Nevada. So we have Ohio State, Tennessee, Texas A&M, and Memphis down in the South.
AC Law, a.k.a. Mr. – I know AC Law's not starting over me. damn, imagine right. that. Imagine if it was AC Law in Steph Curry's shoes. It's amazing.
All right. On the second week, top five songs. At number five, Cupid's Chokehold by Gym Class Heroes. Down to four, Sweet Escape. Down to threes, Don't Matter. Down to twos, This Is Why I'm Hot. And up to number one, from number eight, is Glamorous by Fergie.
Jesus, this is really, really mid-2000s.
Again, the streaming is really messing these all up. You can tell streaming has gotten big.
Whenever like me and my girlfriend are out, and we're just like, yo, why is whatever establishment playing way too much Black Eyed Peas or Fergie? And then you realize, like, that was everywhere, unfortunately.
They were huge.
What era were we doing? Shit.
That was Fergie's, like, singles era. She had that.
London Bridge, Big Girls Don't Cry.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got back together and did Boom Boom Pow, which was everywhere.
It was.
Did more bad songs.
And I got a feeling also.
Yep.
Anyway,
top five movies, debuting at number five, I Think I Love My Wife, debuting at number four,
Dead Silence,
debuting at number three, Premonition, staying at two is Wild Dogs, staying at one is 300.
$45.5 million at box office, and it's made $141.8 million so far.
Yes.
So we moved to Indianapolis, no doubt, at the Conseco Field.
Yes, the site of my first WWE pay-per-view.
Yes.
Survivor Series 2012. Shawn Michaels against JBL. JBL comes out in his suit. He's obviously not coming out of retirement. Town, New York City, which is also not true.
Actually, 9 months.
Yeah. So Shawn's had plenty of chances to turn on Cena, and he hasn't done it. What's his deal? He's changed now. Shawn cares too much about the fans. If he wants them to cheer him, win or lose. If JBL wasn't retired, he would kick Shawn's ass, and Shawn hits Sweet Chin Music on him and leaves.
The answer to the question from record is Pittsburgh.
It's closer to New York City.
Yeah.
You know.
Pittsburgh is where Armageddon 2007
is. Nice halfway point between Indianapolis and New York City.
Very much so.
Randy's mad at Edge since, Randy lost to Lashley and Fed his fault. And Vince said that Edge isn't in the Money in the Bank ladder match anymore. So now Edge just trying to win it back in the Last Chance Battle Royal.
This feels very convoluted and unnecessary.
Yeah, again, like...
Did they just not know what they were doing? Did they realize, oh shit, we have to build time?
Did they not get like an agreement from Bischoff with this rated RKO stuff, and then they've been scrambling for the past 2 months because they had a plan, and now they're doing this?
Completely gone.
So like, you don't remember this when you talk about rated RKO, how they like don't like each other, and
you never talk about the dissension. Wonder why? Because they fucked up the dissension.
They did
exactly.
They did fuck up the dissension. This sucks.
Speaking of Randy, and I mean, we get more into this when we do Mania 39, but it sure sounds like he's going to be back, and that's very exciting.
That's such good news, such exciting news.
Perfect first feud for Cody.
Oh, yes. Flip him now. I don't give a damn about Rated RK, bro.
There's only one way they can do it also, but we will get to that when we get
there. Bob Lashley comes out for the Master Lock Challenge, and he breaks it. So look at that. Someone finally broke it.
I wonder why they brought Chris Masters out.
Yeah, probably would have meant more if I wasn't, like, dead for the past 9 months before 3 weeks
but
ago.
Also, but Chris Masters has just been beaten visibly. Yeah. Like, it doesn't really... It's not like he's been, like, kept afloat. They never even gave him a title or anything like that. It was just kind of like, oh, that's right. No one's broken the Master Lock. Shit. How are we going to do this?
Eugene bumped into Vince backstage and spilled a drink on him, so he's going to face Umaga later tonight. JR and King pay tribute to Arnold Scotland, who also died. Edge wins the Last Chance Battle Royal after pretending to be hurt and then eliminating Ric Flair. So,
once again, I'm just not sure why we've taken this long. Eight or seven, however many
Umaga squashes Eugene, and Vince shaves Eugene's head after.
You know, when I watched this initially, my first thought was, Great. We won't have to deal with segments of for an audience of one.
Yeah.
It's this and something else that happens on the Go Home show. I'm sure you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Melina defeats Candice in a Bra and Panties match, which is to date the last Bra and Panties match in WWE. Probably going to be the last one ever, to be honest with you.
I wanted to note that. I won't say end of an era because the era probably should have never happened. And to be honest with you, it takes a good 8 more years for women's wrestling in WWE to really prosper. So it's still a long avenue, but
yeah,
thank God they go from that to bed.
They don't go from like, oh, we're going to do bra and panties to like real wrestling. It's just, we're going to not do bra and panties anymore. And also you guys are just not going to get time.
We're also not going to do wrestling.
Yeah,
exactly. They're not going to do any wrestling at all.
And again, like, I didn't really watch them, but everyone's like, oh, Melina was so good, Michelle McCool was so good, and I haven't, like, gotten really to see it. So,
you know. That's the thing. Fair.
That's the thing. It's like, Michelle McCool, you would only know is so good because. Melina, you would only know is so good because. Like, it's not to say that they weren't. It's not to say that they were lesser than. They weren't giving the TV time to show it.
Yeah,
so it's hard to really quantify, you know, where they stand in comparison to a Charlotte or in comparison to the previous generation with Trish, because they didn't get that opportunity.
Yeah.
They didn't do Bra and Panties.
So after the match, Great Khali comes out and terrorizes the women, and Jerry Lawler stands up for them and gets choke slammed. Then we get a video with various celebrities, including Tony Hawk, John Sally, Vanilla Ice, Jewel, some other ones weighing in on the Battle of the Billionaires match. It's a great assortment of people. We get Jeff Hardy against Randy Orton. Edge brings out a ladder and slides it into the ring to Randy, and he uses it for disqualification, but Jeff gets up after and hits Twist of Fate and Swanton off the top of the ladder. Vince is facing Lashley next week on Raw, and he's guaranteed victory. And then we get Chris Benoit against John Cena and Shawn Michaels on commentary.
This is a rarity, actually. This is the only time besides one previous occasion in December of 2003 that John Cena and Chris Benoit wrestled on TV in a singles match. Yeah. Actually, I'm sorry. That happened also in June of 2003. So it happened 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, only a couple times. Never during this run of Cena.
No. And obviously this will be the last time. Yeah.
Correct.
Pretty good match. Benoit taps to the STFU. Shawn hits the ring, goes through Sweet Chin Music, but he can't do it. And Cena gets him up for the FU and can't do it. And JBL comes out and says that next week it's going to be Shawn and Cena against Batista and Undertaker on Raw.
You know, I just want to make a comment here. When it comes to some of these like big matches that they've had at Mania that we've watched in this era, reflexively comparing it to now, I wish that they would do like more of these rewind things that they do all the time.
Yeah.
But I think that the only issue, it's not so much, it's nothing against your favorite wrestler, Rob.
Well, yeah.
Brock.
It's true.
But it feels like the big former Mania match thing, it's harder to
it got watered down a little bit. For sure.
Because of just how many times some of these matches were
furiously
thrown at us so many times on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Like when they did stuff like this, and they will soon do stuff like that with Michaels the following week. It's fun.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
ECW from Cleveland, Kevin Thorne and Monty Brown defeat RVD and Sabu via the Pounce. Mm-hmm. Snitsky beats the Jobber. The Sheik, who's from Detroit and is Sabu's uncle, is going into the Hall of Fame, so that's nice.
It is.
CM Punk defeats Hardcore Holly, Elijah Burke defeats Tommy Dreamer, and Lashley defeats Chris Masters. That's ECW.
Sure is.
SmackDown, also from Cleveland. Vince here to open the show. He sent a message to Trump on Raw by shaving Eugene's head. He's going to crush Trump's spirit. And like shaving Trump's head, he's going to be thinking about shaving every single fan's head. He's going to beat Lashley on Monday. He guarantees it. And tonight, Lashley's going to be in a handicap tables match against Kennedy and Randy Orton. London and Kendrick defeat Eminem to win the to retain the tag titles. Joey Mercury will be released after this because he failed the drug test and didn't go to rehab. And he'll be back in 2010, I believe. He comes back Straight Edge Society. But no Joey Mercury for a while.
Correct.
Kane's going to do whatever he needs to do to stop the Great Khali. Jimmy Wang Yang defeats Chavo Guerrero. Speaking of Chavo, remember Vicky's big plan that she had on SmackDown 3 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there.
MVP. Quick, by the way, before we get to, because we get to WrestleMania next week, right?
Yeah.
That's going to be the start of a really, really shitty 2007 when it comes to having to watch The Great Khali in pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, they stopped the single brand pay-per-views, which is good.
Thank God.
Because then we kind of get better matches, but also a lot of top guys get hurt or suspended or die. So, you know, it's going to be an interesting summer.
Yeah.
MVP defeats Liechtenstein heavyweight champion Cedric Van Housen, who famously Johnny Gargano. Fun. Lashley has a tables match against Kennedy and Orton. He's taking it to him early, and he goes for a spear in the corner and hits himself on the ring post, and the match shifts. But eventually he puts Kennedy through a table in the corner and Orton through one in the middle of the ring and gets the win. They're really making Lashley look good.
They are.
Well, that's good. They show some Cleveland Browns in the crowd. Didn't know who they were. Wasn't going to look up the 2007 Cleveland Browns, even though they were not bad that
year.
They
were 10-6 that year, actually.
True.
With Derek Anderson.
Yeah. Crystal's with Batista. He's mad that Undertaker threw Finlay into him, but they're going to get along tonight, during the match at least. Benoit defeats Gregory Helms. The Wild Samoans are going to the Hall of Fame, famously Roman Reigns' dad. And, you know, it's a very good tag team as well. I think, which one? FIFA is his dad, right? I believe. I don't think it's Afa. But it's fun.
You might be right.
I think so. They were also at WrestleMania 31, apparently ready to beat the shit out of some people when Roman lost. So
Weren't they at 34 ready to beat the shit out of some people when
he lost? I think they're at both. Yeah, I think they still Cena just are.
His father.
They both just stay ready.
Yeah, that's right. Is Rosie actually on the roster at this point in time? I was gonna say, hey, at least he has one kid on the roster, but I don't know if he was there. So.
Yeah, I don't think
he's gone.
I don't remember.
They got Umaga, so that's something.
That's not his kid, though.
Oh no, because Umaga is no.
Umaga's a cousin. Yeah.
Yeah, he is. That's right.
Rosie Umaga's, I think, brother. Is Afa's kid.
Mm-hmm.
Oh no! Sorry, his mom is Afa and Sika Souther. So yeah, cousins.
Okay. JBL's got some business to take care of, so he gets up and heads to the back, tells Teddy Long he would like to host a face-to-face sit-down in the ring with Batista and Undertaker next week. Sure. Booker and Finlay ambush Batista backstage, so Undertaker's on his own for the main event. And he kind of holds his own for a while, but then Booker and Finlay just overwhelm him and both beat him up without tagging out or whatever and get disqualified. Batista comes out for the save. And then they're both about to hit power bombs, but Batista pushes Booker into Undertaker instead as revenge for last week, and that's SmackDown.
It was. And now let's move to more NCAA tournament action here, since, this is the big thing of the weekend. In regional semifinals action, Florida defeated Butler 65-57 in St. Louis to advance to their second consecutive Elite Eight. And Oregon, who had only made the round of 32 for the first time since 2002, and only the second time ever, believe it or not, since the round of 32 became a thing, of course, because they won a national championship in 1939.
Yeah.
They moved on to the Elite Eight for the sixth time previously. So they are now in there. They're going to face Florida in the Elite Eight. In San Jose, Kansas defeated Southern Illinois, and UCLA defeated Pitt. So we have Kansas and UCLA, the one and the two in the West, facing off.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big, titanic matchup. In the East, in East Rutherford, at games that I attended, I was not too far from the court either. I was, I want to say, 10 behind the baseline.
Oh, damn.
For a pack of games between UNC and USC. And Georgetown and Vanderbilt. Georgetown and Vanderbilt was the first game. And Georgetown edged Vanderbilt 66-65 thanks to Jeff Green.
Yep.
Who, of course, I believe is still in the NBA now.
Yeah, I think he is somewhere.
Someone correct me if I'm wrong.
Jeff Green is on Denver. The Nuggets.
There we go.
Yes.
He's still collecting a check.
He dunked on Giannis last night.
He did. and so we had that game, and then we had UNC against USC. This USC team had, let's see, who did they have? I know they had, okay, they had Nick Young, USC? Todd Gibson,
yeah,
and Ludrick Stewart, Gabe Pruitt, Daniel Hackett. This is a year before OJ May.
No, oh, yeah, okay.
Yes.
So they had Tosh. And I remember watching Tosh, and he was very impressive.
He was very good.
Yes.
Is it a Tim Floyd USC team?
It is. It
God.
Is a Tim Floyd USC team. That is correct.
Fuck Tim Floyd.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, and then moving on to the South. We had Ohio State beat Tennessee 85-84. And then Memphis defeated Texas A&M 65-64, so some close ones. Then, of course, the Elite Eight. Florida beat Oregon. UCLA beat Kansas 68-55. Georgetown defeated UNC 96-84 in overtime to move on to the Final Four. And Ohio State beat Memphis 92-76 to move on to the Final Four. So your Final Four is Ohio State, Georgetown, UCLA, and Florida.
There we go.
This is a good little crop because you get your rematch from the year before.
Yep.
And then on the other side, Ohio State.
That's your, Battle of Centers.
Mm-hmm.
Get hurt in over. Yeah.
Exactly. And, Georgetown, I think this is appropriate because this is the last time that Georgetown, I would say, is relevant in college basketball. It's been a very
Absolutely.
Time.
I agree.
And
yeah.
Now Ed Cooley is there. I know there's been some issues with the AD there. Like, oh, Ed Cooley's from here. He's been here 12 years. How dare he leave for a better job and a better opportunity to recruit? I'm really hoping that Ed Cooley turns around Georgetown. Because Georgetown needs to be a factor in college basketball again. Look at, Big East is, UConn's still a power. Say whatever you want about Creighton, Marquette, and all those schools that lost in the tournament. We need Georgetown back at that level where they're in the tournament and they're winning and they're generating buzz, especially in that city.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, absolutely. And like you said, UConn, I mean, Nova won't be down for long, I don't think. St. John's could be on the up and up again with Rick Pitino. Like, Georgetown being good would just kind of...
Didn't even mention that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would really just kind of bring the feeling back, man. And,
yeah, I mean, it's great.
You know, it's a good start with Georgetown and Providence, like, starting to hate each other. Because a lot of the Big East since the, reformation has just been like, oh, we all like each other. Nice. You know, we're all kind of this island of misfits.
Yeah,
and that was nice. But, now we actually have some rivalries starting to take hold, and it's good.
It is.
Right.
All right, let's see here. So, third week, top five songs. Down to number five is Sweet Escape. Up to number four is Cupid's Chokehold. Staying at three is Don't Matter. Staying at two is This Warm Hot. Staying at one is Glamorous. Top five movies. Debuting at number five is The Last Mimsy. Down to four is Wild Hogs. Debuting at three is Shooter. Down to two is 300. And debuting at number one is TMNT.
Don't think I watched that one.
Yeah, I didn't either.
I didn't either. No.
All right.
I definitely did. Also, if I can note one thing, it's relevant now. UConn lost in the Sweet 16 yesterday in women's basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Their Final Four streak ended.
Oh, yeah.
The last time that they did not make a Final Four was 2007.
No, there you go.
Wow.
Damn, that's kind of crazy.
Yeah, which is an absolutely insane fact, but it is true.
Well, I mean, hey, it's just one UConn team that's going to be in the Final Four.
That is true.
And of course, 07's tournament was won by Tennessee.
Yeah.
Rutgers. Candace Parker was the most outstanding player.
Yeah.
Damn. So
that's pretty good.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm going to call that the Candace Parker curse coming around on Gino.
There you go. There you go.
All right. So Raw is at the Rosemont Horizon. Coach is here to open the show. Tonight's match against Vincent Lashley will be no disqualification. He says thank you and goes to leave, but Stone Cold comes out. Stone Cold got sent a bunch of gifts over the weekend, and it's apparently from Trump. That's what the tag said on them. But when he asked the delivery guy, he said they came from Stamford, Connecticut, and Vince sent them. And Coach said he actually planned it all, and he apologizes and tries to suck up to Stone Cold, and then Coach gets a stunner.
Actually, if I got a package of gifts from Jonathan Coachman instead of Donald Trump, I'd be so happy.
That's true.
If it was Donald Trump, I'd probably set it on fire. I do remember when this happened. I was so upset because I wish I was there, and then Stone Cold came out. I was so sad.
Oh, yeah. Stone Cold leaves and almost crashes into Vince's limo, and then Vince realizes that it's Stone Cold and kind of takes it easy on him and beats up the limo driver.
Stupid.
Ashley and Tori and Candice defeat Melina, Victoria, and Jillian. CM Punk gets a big win against Kenny, which is nice, in Chicago. Time for the cutting edge with all the Money in the Bank participants. Everyone kind of makes their case about how they're going to win. Edge is surprised that Matt Hardy's on the WrestleMania card because he's a loser. Fair. Booker says some of them won championships in the past, but none have ever been king. Eventually, they all brawl, and the Hardys and Punk chase Edge backstage.
Well, actually, Booker, Edge won King of the Ring once.
That is true.
Just want to point that out.
Vince beats Lashley in the no DQ match with the help of like 8 heels that you could probably guess who they are, you know.
So stupid.
Orton and Kennedy defeat the Hardys. Despite being teammates tonight, the Money in the Bank ladder match will be every man for himself. Jim Ross is going to the Hall of Fame. That's nice that him and Lawler get to go in together. Yeah. And, you know, think what you want about Jim Ross now, but, you know, he obviously played a big part.
I'm not gonna sit here and act like Jim Ross isn't one of the best commentators of all time. Of course he is.
He still has it sometimes. Like, putting him on Rampage is smart because it's taped, and only letting him do half the pay-per-view because they're 5 hours is smart. So
yeah,
he can still bring it once in a while.
Yeah.
Kali beats down Flair, and then Carlito comes out for the save and also gets beat down. Then Kane comes out with his meat hook, and Kali leaves. And it's time for
Cena. A double helping of Can They Coexist?
Yeah, Cena Michaels against Batista and Undertaker. Undertaker decides to leave, and then Batista's on his own. And looks like he's in trouble, but Sean finally hits sweet chin music on Cena. Batista gets the win. He kind of told the same story with both of these, but it worked, and both matches are good. So, like, yeah.
I like that. They mirror each other, and that's what they needed to do.
Mm-hmm. ECW, March 27th from Grand Rapids. Elijah Burke defeats Rob Van Dam because the fucking guys in the
New Breed and the Originals
match just wrestle each other every week. Edge is teaming with the Hardys and Punk against the other 4 Money in the Bank participants tonight. He wants to make sure they're all on the same page.
Okay, that's really weird that they have been teaming with the Hardys.
I
feel like I know that it's booking, I know that it's wrestling, but I feel like there's certain things that just can't happen as well.
Snitsky beats Balls Mahoney. Vince and Lashley do a face-to-face via satellite. Lashley calls Vince an old bastard, and after Sunday he'll be a bald-headed son of a bitch, which is correct. Time for the main event, Hardys and Edge and Punk against Kennedy, Orton, Finlay, and Booker T. Edge walks out on his partners. Booker pins Punk, and the match kind of just over, and then they all start brawling, and the show ends with both Hardys on top of the ladder. Interesting. SmackDown, also from Grand Rapids. Edge is set to face Matt Hardy, but he said he's not going to risk injury tonight. Instead, Matt will face Great Khali. Khali squashes him for a bit, and then Kane's pyro hits, and he gets scared and leaves. Teddy Long's going on a date with Crystal next week. That'll be nice. Good for him. Finlay beat Kennedy in a Money in the Bank warm-up match. MVP beat the Ethiopian heavyweight champion. Now he's ready to face Chris Benoit. Jeff Hardy beats Randy Orton after Edge distracts Orton. Ashley, Mickey, Maria, Candice, and Tori defeat Melina, Victoria, Crystal, Jillian, and Michelle.
Holy filler. My God.
Punk beats Booker in a Money in the Bank warm-up match. Trump slapped Vince at the Mania press conference. Gabriel does a sit-down with Undertaker and Batista. He starts by telling everyone how great he is, and Stone Cold comes out and hits him with a stunner, so now Teddy Long's going to moderate it. Batista says he doesn't respect the Undertaker anymore. He's going to beat him in 48 hours, and then they brawl, and Batista gets a spinebuster and heads to the back, but Undertaker sits up, and that was SmackDown, and we are ready for WrestleMania.
We are.
Thank the fucking Lord. I never want to talk about the Ethiopian champion ever again.
Yeah.
So, we'll do... 23 on its own show. That'll come up after WrestleMania 39. Before we get to WrestleMania 39, we have another big show happening. I give you all of your love and strength in the world if you are attending NXT Stand and Deliver, because that is starting at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yep.
Pacific Standard Time. Get your Wheaties, get your Corn Flakes, your Starbucks, and then head to Staples Center. I'm not calling it the Crypto. Actually, no. I'm seeing special start time of 1 Eastern, so 10 o'clock. You get an extra hour.
Yeah, it's not so
Congratulations.
Bad. That's not too bad.
It's actually really nice for Central Time because it's noon instead of 11.
For us, it's okay. If you're actually there, it's a fucking nightmare. But... Let's roll down this card, Sherry. We got seven announced matches.
We have seven matches on here?
Yeah.
My God.
Seven.
I know, right?
That's a lot.
This is going to be a long show. This is going to be a long day.
I think they did a kickoff last year. They'll probably do another kickoff.
No, fair.
So they'll probably relegate one of these.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Let's start with the 8-person mixed tag match. The winner gains control of Chase University. Andre Chase, Duke Hudson, and Thea Hall are teaming with Tyler Bate to take on the group Schism. That's Joe Gacy, Jagger Reed, Rip Fowler, and Ava Ran. I'm going to say that Duke Hudson saves Chase University and Chase University.
Okay. I like that. Yeah. Yeah. I don't think Chase U is going to lose just because, I mean, that's a very entertaining skit that they do. And, you know,
see, I don't
see the point in having him lose, but,
well, see, that's the thing. The point of having him lose is to make Chase U darker and do different vignettes and stuff like that that they've been doing. Try and do different things that could actually work out. Because to be honest with you, I didn't really level with Gacy and Schism at first. I was a little resentful that they turned GYB into that and it wasn't really clicking. Lately it has. I've enjoyed it. Ava is coming into her own, at least on the mic.
Which, yeah.
I suppose isn't super surprising because that is.
That's true.
But she's been really good. I feel like this is going to be pretty interesting. I wouldn't be surprised if Hudson was the one who took the fall here. But I will go with Schism to be different.
Okay, fair enough.
We have a triple threat tag team match for the NXT Tag Team Championship. Gallus, the champions, Mark Coffey and Wolfgang, taking on the Creed brothers and the D'Angelo family, Tony D'Angelo and Channing Stacks Lorenzo. I look at it this way. Creed brothers don't need a title. Creed brothers need to be getting called up.
Yeah.
The process of being called up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not ready to see Tony D'Angelo holding a tag title.
Yeah.
Stacks. Yeah. He needs a little more development there.
Yeah, that needs a little bit more development. Mm-hmm. Gallus is your now. Gallus is the tag team you want to start building up so when they're ready, like the Creed brothers are right now, they can just easily transition. Like these dudes, what, Wolfgang is in his mid to late 30s. Mark Coffey is up there. Nia's up there. It's their time. It's their time to get them prepped and ready for the main roster. So I'm going with Gallus.
Same here. I will pick Gallus. They're the team that just makes too much sense for this role.
Yes, sir. What's happened to Joe Coffey?
I think he was involved with the speaking out thing, but I don't actually know if he was clipped or not, but he just isn't there.
Okay. See, the last time he was there was August. I'm just like, well, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Let's see. Fatal 5-Way for the North American Championship. Champion Wes Lee taking on the debuting Dragon Lee, JD McDonough, Ilya Dragunov, and Axiom. You might as well just call this a cruiserweight ladder match or something like that.
Yeah, my God.
I don't necessarily care because I don't think Wes Lee needs to be in NXT anymore. And you really can make a case for any of the four. So, I mean, I would say not Dragon Lee.
Yeah.
So either JD or Ilya. And because I don't like JD, I'll go Ilya. Because Ilya's fucking raw.
I will say that even though I think Wes could probably succeed up on the main right now, I don't think there's really a reason to not have him be champion. And I feel like he's going to continue to just be this fighting champion that, you know, he's going to take on all comers. So I will say that he retains, he'll pin Axiom. So I think Axiom is the person who stands the least to lose in terms of taking a pin in this match. But this one's gonna be chaotic. This one's probably gonna open the show. I will not be surprised.
Let's continue on. Tag team match for the NXT Women's Tag Team Championship. We got Fallon Henley and Kiana James. Just put it on Apple Fire and Isla Dawn.
Yeah, I mean.
If you're not gonna call them up,
it's not even that. To me, it's just like. this is a this feels like a short term thing with Fallon and Kiana. Fair. While they sort out their business that doesn't necessarily need the titles around it. That's whereas fair. Alba and Ela can just go on, be champions, and just wreck shit. Yeah. They'd be awesome together because I really like them as a tag team.
Yeah, that's fair.
They I think I'm surprised Alba isn't up yet, but she's found her groove lately with Ela doing something different than what she was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's working.
Yeah.
Same thing with Ela. Ela is somebody who I didn't really have on my radar in UK because I thought they were doing this witch thing with her and it sort of wasn't sure how it was going to translate.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever they're doing now, keep it that way and it'll work.
Yeah. No, I agree. I'm with you.
Because I think it's a balance of like spookiness without being over the top like what we've seen with Ray and Alexa to a degree.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
It's more brood level, I would say.
Yeah.
Yes. That's fair. They complement each other very well.
Yeah, they
yeah,
they
absolutely.
And it helps that they Dawn, probably,
I say, do better effort. Yeah. So put the belts on them now. We have a ladder match for the NXT Women's Championship. It is currently vacant. Zoe Stark, Gigi Dolin, Tiffany Stratton, Lyra Valkyria, and Indy Hartwell's back. Yay. This is an interesting one. They took the belt off of Roxanne Perez. You know, reason why, still up in the air, maybe kayfabe, maybe not, who knows. It seems like to me, if you're not putting it on Zoe Stark, you're putting it on Gigi Dolin.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, they've been building up Tiffany Stratton. I don't know if it's quite time yet, but it feels kind of inevitable.
She's
that,
got some heel time, man.
Yeah?
Yeah. This is the interesting thing. Because I think I can see where they're going with this. One of two things is going to happen. Unfortunately, it can't be a third because it doesn't look like Cora Jade is going to be involved. Unless she's involved in this sort of capacity like I think Roxanne would be. Which is to say that I don't think this match ends with five people. I think there will be a sixth entry. It's either going to be Roxanne, and she's going to come back, and she's going to just get the title, and we're going to move on. She's going to be a fighting champion. Maybe that's not enough for people. Okay, so I'll present the option of Cora coming back after her hiatus, winning the match, and calling herself the NXT Women's Champion. Well, how did the famous match between Razor Ramon and Shawn Michaels start up?
That's
because
true.
Because they needed a champion because Shawn was, quote-unquote, not defending it anymore because he was hurt
yeah.
in real life. So what did that lead to? A ladder match for the Undisputed title. Now, do they do a lot of ladder matches nowadays?
Yes.
Yeah, of course. But we've noticed is they like to mimic Shawn's storylines.
That's true.
I don't think Cora's done yet. I still think that she still finds a way to get involved here with Roxanne because they still have unfinished business. So I'm going to say that Cora Jade comes in as a special entrant and wins it because I don't think that Roxanne coming back and just winning it does anything for anybody. And I don't think that anyone here is ready yet or it serves a purpose quite yet. Zoe is probably going up soon. She's gotten a lot of rave reviews from a lot of important people, including Charlotte. Gigi, I don't think, is there yet. Same thing with Lyra Valkyria, Effa Valkyrie, formerly known as. She's just getting started.
Yeah.
Indy, how do I politely say I don't think that she's as ready as people think that she is?
Fair.
As ready for a title or as ready for the main roster?
Both.
It just feels like she's been there for a long time.
But I think she's been there because I don't think that she's a good TV character. The wrestling still needs to get there.
That's fair.
So you're left with Tiffany Stratton or, again, either one of Cora Rock or Roxanne. Tiffany makes sense, but I don't think that she's gotten the, like, marquee victories yet. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's there, but it feels like if they were ready to pull the trigger on her, they would tell you. That's why I think Cora is going to swoop in and win this, and then we're going to get probably her versus Roxanne at either the Great American Bash or TakeOver at SummerSlam weekend.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That makes sense.
Okay.
Unsanctioned, Johnny Gargano and Grayson Waller. I'm going to go Grayson Waller because Johnny Gargano is the one that's already on the main roster and doesn't need to win.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that.
I know that, you know, the story is always the content being based on back and wins or whatever, but, like,
That's the point in doing it here. Yeah.
Just give it to Waller.
Yeah, I agree.
Why don't you give it to Waller and have them continue their feud on Raw? Because I don't know what Waller's going to be doing on NXT anymore after WrestleMania.
Nothing.
To be perfectly honest with you. In fact, I think even him winning could just signal them being like, okay, we're done with you. You're not coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And then he has to warm his way back at TaxDark.
Yeah.
Give it to Waller.
I agree.
And for the NXT Championship, Bron Breakker defends against Carmelo Hayes. It is Carmelo's time.
Yes, it is.
Carmelo is money, despite what some people want you to believe. And then Bron can just go up to the main roster where he belongs.
Yeah,
I agree.
Frankly, I like the idea that's been tossed around by fans of Bron joining the Creed Brothers up top. That would be pretty cool. Even though, you know, they weren't a stable down there. What the hell did that matter? Look what they did with Dakota and Neo.
That's true. Yeah.
They'd be fun together. But let's be honest.
I agree. Yeah.
You know that they would be fun together.
They would be. You know, you're not wrong.
Sheldon would be a good mentor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I think it's got to be Carmelo, though.
Yeah, no. Yeah. 100%. Yeah. Melo needs to be champion after WrestleMania.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
1,000%. Yes.
The next, couple hours after that, we begin WrestleMania 39. WrestleMania going to Hollywood for the first time since 21 in 2005. This will be the sixth WrestleMania held in the greater Los Angeles area, if we are That's counting crazy. Anaheim in that. Seventh in the state of California overall, including 31, which is in the Bay.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Also notable because Triple H is first under control, which means that for the first time in history, WrestleMania won't be a Vince McMahon production. So truly new ground, truly a new era. We don't know which matches are happening. We know a couple matches and when they're happening. But let's just kind of go through the everything else, and then we'll do three matches, and then that we know what night they're gonna be happening. Currently 13 matches scheduled for both nights. We'll start with the most recently developed one. That's Rey Mysterio versus Dominic. And I want to touch on this before we produce. So I work in a new setting, and you know, we are forced to watch SmackDown, if you can understand what I'm trying to say. And I work with a lot of people who don't watch wrestling, don't give a shit about professional wrestling. You know, but you have a couple of us that are there that are wrestling fans and that will pay attention because we're paying attention. Mm-hmm. And following the Usos too, we're about to talk that one too, but specifically Rey and Dominic and the payoff that happened on SmackDown. Like that's what's beautiful about wrestling is when the payoff is long lasting and it's good. You had an issue with Rey and Dominic, and Rey doesn't want to touch his son. Rey doesn't want to put hands on his son, no matter what and his son does and how much his son tries to antagonize him. Until you put your hands on your mother, or until you say something out of pocket about your mother. That's real life. That's mm-hmm. something that everybody can relate to, whether you watch wrestling or you don't. And, you know, folks that I work with that I know don't watch wrestling, we're just sitting here talking about it last night. Saturday, day after, praising it and talking about how wonderful it was. That's so rewarding to see, you know, the payoff of a good, well-told story. So they have done tremendous with Rey and Dominic to get to this point. And now this upcoming Friday, Rey is going to be inducted to the Hall of Fame. He gets to wrestle his kid at WrestleMania. That's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, I think since it's just a regular singles match, I think it is probably going to be Dominic here. I think they're going to probably run it back at Backlash. You know, maybe Bad Bunny gets involved to do Rey and Bad Bunny against Dom and Priest. I know it's something that you've said before. You know, Santos factors in now as well. Maybe he'll be involved. Maybe there'll be a trios match or something. But yeah, it doesn't really seem like a one-off. I thought at one point it would be, maybe they'd do like, you know, mask against hair or whatever, and they still might.
They still might.
No, they could. I thought it would be the match for Mania, and it's fine that it's not.
Well,
because they're going to keep it going.
That can't be it because it would be their first time wrestling.
Exactly.
They can't just jump from
Yeah.
Him not fighting.
No, that's what I'm...
Oh, now it's mass versus...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And it has to build, so Dominic is going to win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree.
Actually, to be fair, if it's the first match, you could see Ray winning to teach him a lesson, and Dom could just come back and...
That's true. Dom could win the next one, and then
really
do a third.
Really attacking him, then could...
Yeah.
Further. So I think, from that perspective, it could probably go either way. I will probably go with the safe route and take
that. Yeah, that's fair.
But I could obviously see Ray putting over his kid.
Yeah, of course. Really excited to see what gear he does.
Yeah, I was going to say that too. Yeah, and if it was a retirement match, it would be obviously great.
Mm-hmm.
Ray is still probably going to be out.
But that might wait till the third one now, and then you don't know if he's going to win or not.
Exactly.
So that's fair. Yeah, so probably Ray here, and then Dominic in the second one, and then you do a third one, and whatever, you know.
A slam.
Yeah. Probably. Okay.
But yeah, I can see it going either way.
So. Yeah.
For the undisputed WWE Tag Team Championships, the Usos defended against Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. I think the logical payoff here is Kevin and Sami winning and having that big moment and Sami getting the pin. So I'll go that way. Something is still pulling me, like, believing the Usos might still win this and they'll continue this somehow. But I think the logical way to do this is Kevin and Sami.
Yeah. I guess when you're the longest reigning champions, you always have that chance. But it doesn't.
Right.
It feels like we've been, you know, building towards this big thing, and the big thing in the previous regime, of course, was not hitting the moment when it was hot.
That's why I'm worried. Like, I gotta. Mm-hmm. I understand, and this is the first of trips, but I still gotta see it to believe it.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I will go with KO and Sami though, because it's the most logical choice.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with KO and Sami. I think it is gonna end up main eventing night one.
For the record, I would just like to point out, I don't care about where this match
takes place.
Takes place at the beginning of night two, the end of night one, the middle, I don't care. It's going to be great either way.
I think it makes more sense for it to be on night one, but I'm not going to, you know, complain.
Yeah, it's like my perspective on the main event, and this is a larger discussion with Reid and Charlotte also, is I am not swayed by what match ends up on every card. I'm going to watch the show either way. So, and it's not, you know, I'm not getting money in my pocket for saying that somebody should be in the main event if they get it. I suddenly earn the money that they're going to get. So in my perspective, I don't care where these people wrestle in the car. It would be cool.
Yeah.
But it's you've had matches that aren't main events that have been good. I mean, most WrestleMania main events have been kind of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think it does say something about ending the show on a proper note. You don't want to end the show.
Yeah.
Especially now that it's two nights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You don't want to have your night one fall flat, and then you're already starting off kind of night two with a little bit of a sour note. Not obviously, we know what's ending the everything as it should be, but you know there have been instances where the wrong call is made, the ending falls flat. Hell, we can all say that in 2019, the right main event, or the main event was the right main event, even though the main event fell flat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, of course.
You know, so I think they got a real delicate job of trying to determine what match is, you know, once this 3 or 4 hour night is done, is going to hold our fans over and captivate them the most. I think it is the Usos and Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, but at the same time, like, you do want that one singular face standing tall at the end of the night. So I also understand why you would give it to Charlotte and Rhea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They just got to know that, like, if it's Rhea, like, we're stamping Rhea. I would hate exactly that Charlotte wins that fucking match and Charlotte's ending WrestleMania. You know. Anyway, you're all going Kevin and Sami? Right.
Mm-hmm.
We got two showcases, one for the men's, one for the women's. They are Fatal 4-Way Tag Team matches. Let's start with the women. Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez. Natalya and Shotzi. Shout out to Shotzi for getting the WrestleMania match. You know why I'm here. Ronda and Shayna. Ronda will be able to perform. I understand there's a lot of worry. She's going to be there. And then one team to be announced.
which will probably be either some combination of the three of Carmella, Piper, and Chelsea Green. I don't know why Mella was pulled from Monday, but what if that's a hang up, then you know obviously she's out of contention. But
yeah.
If she's good to go, she will probably get that match over Piper.
Yeah, I agree.
As far as winning this match, probably going to be Ronda and Shayna, because they were probably going to win the tag titles if they were able to go.
Yeah.
So I think that they will win. I think in order of likelihood, Ronda needs an WrestleMania win too. Yeah. And I think in order of likelihood, it's Ronda, Shayna, Liv, Raquel, Natalya, Shotzi, and then Chelsea and
Uma. Yeah, I think so.
And in terms of the men, I'm going to go with the most popular actors.
Damn, I didn't even like get to fucking name the men. Speedy Gonzalez, yeah. Fuck. Braun Strowman and Ricochet.
Yep.
The Street Profits. Alpha Academy and the Viking Raiders. I didn't realize they were calling her Valhalla.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are.
Okay.
I'm actually going to go with Braun and Ricochet for that one.
That's fair.
I think they're actually a really fun team.
They are.
I enjoy them quite a bit. I just think, you know, Street Profits are another good choice. Alpha Academy, they got this, you know, stuff going on with Gable and Otis, and I just, I really don't care about the Viking Raiders. So, yeah, either Braun and Ricochet or the Street Profits, and I'll go with Braun and Ricochet.
I was going to say, I expect maximum male models to show up
in
this match. Too.
And probably Ronda and Shayna for the other one. I mean, I don't know. Like, these matches are nice because it gets some extra people on the card. I wish it had some stakes,
they're
to it, but they might.
They're de facto number one contenders.
Yeah, exactly.
They're telling you what it is without actually telling.
Like, I don't know if they'll go right into, you know, Kevin and Sammy against Braun and Ricochet or whatever, but they could.
That's a good first challenge for them as a team to face a guy who's taller than both of them and a guy like Ricochet who. It'd be fun.
I'll go with Alpha Academy. I know they're doing the thing with maximum male models, and I want to believe there's still a way that can continue, and they also get a shot with Kevin and Sammy. Because I'm looking at the four of these teams, and granted, I still think that you continue it with the Usos after this. But if you're going to pivot, of the four teams, Alpha Academy would be the most fun to see against Kevin Owens and Sami.
Yes. I think they would have a nice level. Agreed.
So, yeah. Hell in a Cell, back at WrestleMania. First time since 2016. Is that right?
Yes.
Yep.
Shane Taker.
Yep.
Edge against the Demon, Finn Balor. Be interesting to see how the Demon looks. With Finn's new character, I don't think we've seen the Demon since, 2019?
No, since
he faced Roman Extreme Rules and the top rope broke and they didn't.
I tried so hard to forget about that.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Finn. Actually, no. I take that back. Because Edge had a promo a couple weeks back that indicated, hey, he ain't got a lot of time left.
Yeah.
This is the purpose. This is the goal. I'm wasting my time. And, like, I love Finn Balor, but truth be told, Edge is wasting his time. And Finn and Judgment Day have a lot more that they can do on its own. Edge needs to be on a stratosphere to be challenging for a championship, whether that's WWE or Universal. Whenever one gets dropped, Edge needs to make a straight beeline to challenge for the other. So I'm going to go Edge.
That's fair. I could also probably see Edge. I hope it's a good match. You know, Edge had the triple threat match was good with Brian Roman. His other two Mania matches since he came back have
stunk.
Been a little underwhelming. But you know, he knows what he's doing in a Hell in a Cell setting in particular. He's done a really good job kind of paying off these big matches and big feuds since he came back. So I give him credit for that. So I will also go with Edge.
I will go with Finn just to be different.
Hmm? Fair.
I'm expecting a good one here. I think this is one of Finn's biggest spots at a Mania ever, or just in general.
Yeah. I think so.
Facing a Hall of Famer in Hell in a Cell. Mm-hmm. The first time in Hell in a Cell, I'm 99% sure.
It is, yeah.
So, at WrestleMania, like it's a big deal. Good for him for, you know, hanging around and finding his guy back in charge, and now he's, you know, got the spotlight.
I'm trying to think about
him. He's another guy who should be contending for whatever title after Mania, too.
Yeah.
He definitely can be, but I'm trying to remember, like, what has he been doing at Mania? He did the triple threat.
He did the triple threat. He faced Lashley in 2019. He obviously wasn't at Mania in 2020 or 2021.
That's about it, I think.
That's it. That's all he's done. He's only had two Mania matches.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, actually, no, yeah, yeah, two, yeah, yeah, two Mania matches. He was U.S. champion before Mania last year. Wasn't on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Wild.
Don't know why.
He's 2-0. Yeah, he's 2-0. Yeah,
he is.
Yeah.
Trish Stratus, Lita, and Becky Lynch taking on the team of Damage Control. Don't care. I'm just excited to watch it.
Yeah, yeah, I'm excited to watch this as far away as possible from Twitter, because my sanity fucking needs it. Which, to be honest with you, if I may address one thing, I'm not surprised that Bayley lost to Rhea on Monday. I don't know who would be. I don't know why anyone would be. Rhea is fighting for a title. Bayley is in a six-woman tag. One is clearly the priority, and the other is just, you know, thank you for your service. This match and this result was going to happen anyway at some point, so let's get it out of the way.
I think my only thing would be it's just a weird match to have. Why is Bayley and Rhea, to put on my GM glasses, why is Bayley and Rhea Ripley fighting each other? There were two other faces at the bottom of the roster that both of them could squash.
Well, that's the other problem I think with them booking this Mania is, you know, you need to have some compelling matches down the stretch, especially with the women. The thing is, they've been very tight in terms of their windows with who to use and who to wrestle. No one in the DC feud can face each other right now because you're not doing Bayley Becky again on Raw.
Sure.
And Becky could work Dakota and Io, I guess, but like if you want to save that, if you're planning that for Queen of the Ring, you want to wait. And they obviously aren't getting Trish and Lita to wrestle a singles match, so it's tough. It is what it is, but that was a cheap overreaction by everyone as usual. Also, I saw people being like, oh, well, why isn't the Bayley to Belly protected? You named to me the last time she won a match with the Bayley to Belly.
I don't ever.
You know when the last time it was that I can remember that she won with that move? Freaking Stomping Grounds against Alexa. It's been like 4 years. Let's calm down. It's her Blue Thunderbomb. Yeah. I don't need to hear, oh, she really kicked out at one. Yes, I know. They're making Rhea look dominant. That's what's happening. Anyways, for this match, I am very excited about it. I'm going to have fun. I think Trish screws over Becky, and Bayley eats up the pin, and Trish is either going to join them, like Roddy did join Undisputed Era in 2018, or she's going to do her own thing and be mad at Becky and Lita for being a tag team, because Lita, you know, said, hey, screw you and your 20-year friendship. I'm going to team with Becky Lynch.
Yeah, no, I can see that. I think, you know, Damage Control getting the win would make sense. And, you know, the rumor is that Trish and Becky are going to feud. So that makes sense. That's a good way to get to it. So, yeah, I could go with that.
Something about Trish turning to Mania, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Triple threat match for the Intercontinental Championship. Gunther defends against Sheamus and Drew McIntyre. I'll say this, while I don't think Gunther loses here, I think you need to start planning an avenue. Once he passes Honky, they need to start figuring out how to get that belt off of him and get him ready to take the bigger championship. Because that man's it.
Yeah, see, I think Sheamus beats Drew here, and then at least two of these guys probably go to Raw just to kind of refresh themselves a little bit, probably Drew and Gunther. And then you just kind of start building Gunther. I don't know if he wins King of the Ring or Money in the Bank, but I think Gunther and Cody is your SummerSlam title match. So I don't even know if it necessarily matters if he passes Honky Tonk Man or not, because that would take him past SummerSlam. So, like, I'd almost rather just have him lose here. You know, Sheamus gets his moment, and then you start building for, the biggest party of the summer.
Yeah, I think Sheamus getting the Intercontinental title at Mania would be pretty fun. They have an opportunity here where Gunther doesn't have to get pinned with, you know, Sheamus possibly pinning McIntyre for the win. I think the only surprising result from this would be Drew winning.
Yeah.
That's not a diss to him. It's just that, you know, you figure the two options are Gunther retaining or Sheamus finally getting the ultimate triple crown. Or becoming the ultimate champion, whatever you want
to call it. I think with regards to Drew, if there is a draft coming, which I imagine there is, he's a name that I would almost lock into going to Raw. Yeah, he should probably turning.
He should go back to Raw. I don't know if I would turn.
Maybe not yet, but definitely soon. He's just been this top baby face for like 3 years now.
But
Sheamus over Drew is my pick here.
I will pick Gunther.
I'll go with Gunther. Send Drew to Raw. Please send Drew to Raw. Brock Lesnar against Omos, because for some strange reason they decided, I don't need to do the blow off to Brock and Bobby here.
Brock. Yeah. It seems more up in the air than it was a couple weeks ago if Brock will actually still be there after this match. He won't be there immediately after this match, but they have, three big stadium shows coming up in the summer. When you imagine he'll factor into one of them if he is going to be around. It doesn't seem like Triple H has the same kind of desire to use these older part-time guys that Vince did, but I still think there's a spot for Brock. It's just a matter of he's got to be a little more willing to play ball, I think, and not just want to face Roman. And he wanted to face Lashley for a while until that seemingly went away. I just don't know. Beating Brock should mean something, and it would mean something if Omos did it, but I don't know. There's not a whole ton you can do with Omos other than that. He's not going to face – he could face Cody, I guess. It'd be fine. He's not going to beat him, but,
he's a good
there's a ceiling for him, and I'm interested in seeing how this weigh-in segment goes tomorrow. I think it should be pretty good. It's a very old-school kind of match and feud. It has potential to be okay. They have a real strict set of rules that they have to kind of abide by, not try and do too much, not go too long, but it should be a good match. It's going to be hard to imagine Brock losing until he actually does, so I'll go with Brock.
I would go with Brock also. I think my main issue right now with anything with regards to Lesnar is that if he's going to have these situations where suddenly it goes from, okay, he's facing Lashley, now it's Omos. It's like, okay, well, listen, you got, like you said, you got to play a little ball. Got to be a little more flexible. Because I don't think that even if they split a title off or whatever, I don't know if that helps anything, because he's not going to be willing to lose to anybody, and he's just going to be champion again it's 2017. And all due respect, it's not 2017.
Yeah.
So I honestly, you had said that Triple H doesn't like using part-timers. My thing is, why should he?
Yeah.
All of them are old.
No, I agree.
All of them are old now. We ran all through these other kinds of scenarios, and if the scenarios don't involve the people on the active roster who they're trying to nurture and build up, it almost feels like they're not part of the show and that they're in their own universes, which was the big thing with AEW and Cody in the Codyverse. So if it's that outside from the show, it's going to start looking more peculiar. And that's my only worry with Lesnar going forward, is if he's not part of the show and if he's in his own universe, it's going to be hard for him to be pulled into with everything else going around him. So hopefully they're able to work something out where if this is it, it's it. But I'm picking Lesnar because he's Brock Lesnar.
Sure.
I don't think Omos is going to tag Brock Lesnar.
Let's move on. Let's go. Good lord. Let's go and do the Raw Women's Championship. We got Bianca Belair and we got Asuka. Bianca Belair has held that title for nearly a year. I don't see a reason to take the belt off of her.
Likewise.
As good as Asuka is, I think, a good long-term foil for Bianca Belair. And so let's keep that thing going. Let's give Bianca Belair the victory and have her stand tall somewhere on that Mania card. It obviously won't be a main event match or maybe even major match at all. But
I thought kind of when they started the feud, maybe Asuka would be the one to take her down and get the win. But it sure doesn't seem like it based on how it's gone. Like, they've really given us no reason to think that Asuka could win, which is kind of a shame. But I get it at this point. It kind of is what it is. I think Bianca's probably going to retain and will most likely get a feud with Charlotte at some point. I think Charlotte probably will be another person that jumps over to Raw, and they'll do that. Or
if they do that, someone's going to have to swap over there, because Charlotte is not going to take over for Bayley and damage control. So they're going to need to move, and I don't know if that makes any sense.
Yeah,
for Becky Trish.
I don't want to make too many predictions based on a draft that I don't know is going to happen.
You can guess what the draft is going to happen.
Yeah.
You can guess what the moves are going to be made, but I don't think that Charlotte is immediately going to go.
No, it just if there's two things that I know, it's that I think Bianca's going to win. I think she's going to need some new people.
But why would you have that immediately be Charlotte?
Not necessarily. I mean,
well, if Charlotte is going there, she's not going to work the mid card. Well, we know this about
that's
her.
True.
That's
so, a good point. I still
if
think
you're going to do Bianca Charlotte, you're going to need to wait a little bit.
Yeah,
it's not going to happen right away.
Either way, I think Bianca's going to win.
I agree. They've given me no reason to think otherwise. She's going to be champion for 365 days. I can't name a time to you when they've resisted that opportunity to give someone a championship title reign for 365 days. If it happens to be, this match is happening, and then the next day it's 365. What happened with Punk? Same thing.
That's true.
The same thing. With Punk, and when he was champion going into Survivor Series 2012, we were all wondering, is he going to be champion? He was. And they're not going to stop short of that for that, and I think that they're also going to try and make her the longest reigning women's champion. And if people have an issue with that, is okay. It's just like John Cena in 2006 and 2007. You can think your fave or the person you think is wrestling them is worthy enough to take it. And then Bianca comes out. She gets a big pop from the audience. She's incredibly charismatic and talented. She puts on a great match. She gets all the fans going. But there was a child in front of us at the show who was, dancing and bopping in her mother's lap during the theme song.
That is true.
So you can see that the connection is there.
Mm-hmm.
So when you think that someone's ready, she comes out and she tells you, no, it's not.
Yeah.
It's not time yet. So Bianca will be champion.
Yeah.
After me.
That's fair.
Sure.
Okay. Fair enough.
Charlotte, Rhea, you hope that it's that way, but Pierce, if you want to take over.
No, you're good. You're good. Charlotte, Rhea, SmackDown Women's Championship.
This one feels like it's got to be Rhea after kind of everything they've done, all the building and all that. I know some people are kind of concerned about it. The whole story is how Rhea wasn't ready for her 3 years ago when, Charlotte beat her. Just to have Charlotte win again. I know you can never say for sure with Charlotte.
That's,
I know.
That's
I get
thing.
It.
That's my thing.
Like, but my it thing. Almost has to be Rhea. Like, Rhea not winning would probably be, like, the second worst thing that could happen behind Cody not beating Roman. You can't do it. Like, it's got to be Rhea.
It does have to be Rhea. I do agree. But I just, man, the 1% in the back of my head keeps thinking, well, these matches that Charlotte is supposed to lose, she never loses them, actually.
Yeah. But this.
You hope that they just do the thing. Rhea is champion. Either it happens in the middle of night one or it happens at the end of night one. And that's how they, that's how they end it. You have the crowning achievement, this, that, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So, conventional wisdom, my prediction will be Rhea. It's Charlotte Flair until the bell rings. You never know.
Yeah. Fair.
I think it's going to be a lot better than people believe.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
the match a couple years ago was hamstrung because it was during the pandemic. Matches they had.
They had a banger at Money in the Bank 2021, though.
They had a
very good match.
That was good.
Because that was the first show back. I want to say Charlotte.
Yeah, that was when Charlotte flipped off the crowd for chanting for Becky.
That's right. That's right.
Still don't blame them for doing that.
And I think Rhea's probably the best, best person for Charlotte to go up against. Like, you put Charlotte Flair on the pedestal. If we're not giving her Bianca, and I think that's the only other marquee main event WrestleMania match to do, Rhea's a perfect, perfect person for Charlotte to go up against. Oil and water right there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with Rhea with that one. All right. So we know of three matches that have been scheduled for night one and night two. We know it's leading off night one. Austin Theory is defending his Universal Championship against the GOAT, John Cena. And they have played this up. John Cena, the arrogant greatest of all time, seeing Austin Theory and saying, you're not ready. Saying, well, we all believe you're not ready. Austin Theory is going to show John Cena just how ready he is at WrestleMania, and he's going to win clean to open the show.
So I actually, we haven't heard anything about him in a couple months, but I think what would be a really good thing to do, you've seen a win, he does the open challenge on the Raw after Mania, Jay White comes out and beats him. I think that's a really good way to make a guy, and can get you further than Theory just beating Sita. Now, again, we haven't heard anything about Jay White in quite some time now. So,
but the last time that we didn't hear something about somebody.
Exactly.
Was last year when Cole showed up.
So. No, I mean, it could just all be, you know, Theory's just going to win and they'll keep this going. But if you want to make a moment and make a guy, you'd be seen into Jay White.
But I think the only problem with that is the reception the next night.
The Raw after WrestleMania, people know who Jay White is. You don't have to worry about that.
They didn't know who Braun Breaker was last year. He's in their feeder system. I don't agree. This is not the same. These are not the same post-Mania crowds.
Yeah, I don't think, because it's changed up a little bit with the SmackDown not being on Thursday and it being the start of the week. Like, Raw after WrestleMania now is just the folks that are not ready to leave.
Yeah, you
know? That's fair.
And I am wondering if it was Jay White to show up, what kind of reaction would he get? I don't think it's going to be him. Not because that, just because I don't know if like now is the time to do it. But I wouldn't be opposed to it. I wouldn't be like, oh yeah, I'm not ready to see Jay White in WWE, especially, you know, beating the God, you know, and then coming in and holding the belt basically his first night. I would not be against that at all.
That's fair. Yeah. I mean, well
that's my only, but other than that, yes, you're right. That is the way to do it. That's the way to certify Jay White if you're bringing him in, because if you bring him in, he should be near the top.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or at the top. And yes, he could beat John Cena for the U.S. title. You can go from there and immediately vault the prestige up of that championship.
Mm-hmm.
I will go with Cena also. It's weird. I don't see an avenue for Theory winning, because I don't know what you do after. It feels weird to say, but I just don't know what you do after.
It feels like even if it's not Jay White, there's someone that could beat Cena on Monday that would do more for them than Theory like just beating. Yeah, I mean, that's another good one. Yeah. Braun Breaker.
I think Braun Breaker can just step in and beat Austin Theory.
That's true.
U.S. Championship.
He could, yeah.
Or Jay White could just, you know, show up and, you know, some Adam Pearce fuckery happens. You know, Jay White champion. I look at it more as what it means for the person that needs that win more.
You know, like
John Cena's established. John Cena does this. This match does nothing for John Cena. This match is to get John Cena on the card for WrestleMania. And if he doesn't wrestle for the rest of the year, who cares?
Yeah.
You know, Austin Theory was given this spot for a reason. I don't think it was to lose a championship. So I'm going with Theory. Here's a match that I absolutely give no shit about. Seth Rollins is against Logan Paul. Seth Rollins got to stop losing at WrestleMania. He has to stop losing at WrestleMania. This isn't a point where so go ahead.
Probably does have to be Seth. I know, you know, Logan Paul's kind of been getting the upper hand in the feud so far.
But that should mostly tell you the whole time. Yeah, be Seth.
Exactly. I think it'll be a very good match. I don't really care about either guy. It just is what it is.
No. This isn't a point of, oh, he can afford a loss. Seth got to stop losing to WrestleMania. Like, because we remember Seth for winning at WrestleMania and for being a god at WrestleMania. And now he's gotten a low where he's losing to Kevin Owens, Cesaro, Cody Rhodes, and now fucking Logan Paul. No. He has to.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, you know, kind of went 50-50 with Riddle, kind of went back and forth with Theory. Like, at some point, he does have to, because the crowd still loves him, so, you know, he probably will factor into the World Championship again at some point, but he can't just come in as a loser. I know, you know, if the crowd loves him, that's all that matters, but some people care that he's just a big loser going into, you know, getting these matches, and, you know, you gotta, gotta justify that.
He's a big-ass loser.
Yeah. Yeah, the problem. I think the problem with that narrative, though, is it's only used when people want it to be convenient.
Yeah, fair.
Because there's a lot of people who eat matches that are just as popular that receive no such praise.
Yeah.
I can't. Bayley hasn't won a feud in 3 years.
No.
My God, like.
She should absolutely win a feud.
Yeah, she should, but it's like, it's just one of those things where sometimes I guess it happens to some people. It's weird, but at least in Seth's pocket, he has the crap.
Yeah.
So at least he can hang his hat on that.
That's fair. Good point.
He will still have the emotional attachment. Win or loss, they will ride with him. That's good for him.
Yes.
But I do agree that he should win. We don't need to have him lose to Logan Paul. I know Logan Paul is who he is, but let's be serious.
Before we touch on the main event, I thought of this earlier. Are we getting Wade Barrett or are we getting Pat McAfee? I'm going to be honest with you. I'd rather Wade Barrett.
I think it's just going to end up being Graves and Cole. Like they had said it was only going to just be them for the PLEs. And
I mean, they do this thing for Mania where they bring guys out for one match now, which I mean, if you want to do that, I guess. Like, it's fine with JBL and... It's okay when Booker does it, and I mean
Booker.
I don't. He's not someone who's going to. That's fair. Yeah. I don't know Jerry Lawler's status this year. Based on
that's going to be very interesting. Yeah. They're going to need him.
Yeah.
In WrestleMania.
Yeah. So it's a lot for Cole. You know, he will be dead by the end of it. But
to be honest with you,
I actually think Cole and Corey's a very good team.
Yeah, Cole and Corey's a good team. To be honest with you, after the Rumble. I don't need Pat.
Yeah, we talked about
it. If he's not around, he's all over the place. It's not... It is what it is.
Yeah, he's having a strange couple months, too.
Yeah,
He's going through it.
At the end of the day, he is a white dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True. True.
That's a great one. That's a great one. Also, we only have 3 announced Hall of Famers.
It's
Ray, Muda, Andy Kaufman.
Supposed to be probably Stacy Keibler was the woman's name. No tag team yet.
Well, because you know what the thing is, they don't need to have people.
Well, yeah, that's the other thing. It's after SmackDown.
It's after SmackDown. They have people in the building. They wanted to do a smaller class this year. All the
mm-hmm.
But plus, I also feel like for them, it would be nice for them to do that. But like the people always ran along with their speeches. Even when they were timed, there were people getting offended by that. So it's like you can't, if you're gonna do that, just have a small class.
Okay? Yeah.
Get the people out of there because it's like you don't need to keep them around the talent around that much longer either.
Yeah, that's true.
Let them go live and do whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The main event of WrestleMania 39. Roman Reigns has been the WWE Undisputed Universal Heavyweight Champion for. Almost 3 years now. Cody Rhodes has not wrestled at WrestleMania as Cody Rhodes since, 2014? Probably before that. I want to say he was on the pre... I want to say he was in the Battle Royal that year.
I believe he was. He was... Because they're going to be in WrestleMania 29.
Yeah, he was in the...
And that got cut.
Yeah, he was in the Andre.
Yeah. Okay.
And then 31-32 was his alter ego.
Yeah.
At WrestleMania. So.
Yeah.
Yes. So there's so much happening with this match, and so much has been happening with this feud, and so much playing up. But it's time.
Yeah.
Roman has been king, and we've been wondering for these last 3 years, who is it? Is it going to be Big E? At a point, it probably should have been Big E.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that they were waiting for time to happen, and maybe E would have had his opportunity had he not gotten hurt. It would have been this year. We don't know. We'll never know. Drew McIntyre. Folks are like, hey, maybe Drew Mac will do it overseas. No, didn't fucking happen.
Yeah.
It was never going to be Brock. And so we've been sitting here trying to, hey, is it Bron Breakker? Who is it? Who is the guy to finally beat Roman Reigns? Because this is what we've been building this championship reign up to. For someone to be at that peak level to be the guy in the company. And it's so funny to me that the guy to lead WWE is the guy who started his own company that he could not lead.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're seeing, now that he's come back and it's all come full circle, he's reached that plateau that he always felt that he could be at.
Yeah.
And I think now is the time you put that strap on Cody, you do the wonderful moment for Cody, and then, you know, you continue the story of the dissolution of the bloodline from there. Because they got good theater going on right now, and I don't think you waste it for anything. Vince would have wasted that shit. Not this time. It's gonna be
fun. Yeah. I'm with you. You know, it has to be Cody. We asked, you know, if not Drew, who's it going to be? And there was an answer, and it was Cody. And if you ask, if not Cody, who's it going to be? There's not an answer, despite everyone wanting to tell you, you know, it could be Jey Uso. So Jey Uso is not ending what would be then a 1,000-day title reign. You just can't do it. Mm-hmm. I like Jey Uso. He's great.
He's not WWE champion material.
Yeah, and that's nothing again.
It's fine.
I don't want to say that because I think he's grown into possibly being. I would have said that 3 years ago, definitely.
Yeah.
I think this turn with the Bloodline is starting to formulate him into a top tier guy where he's getting those top tier reactions. So I don't want to say all that, but I don't think he's the guy to take the belt off of Roman. He's a guy that gets his comeuppance on Roman after the fact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that kind of is the story they're telling too, you know, with Sammy telling him he's just mad that he didn't do it first and attack Roman. And, you know, they've really blended these stories together very nicely, including Cody and, you know, just kind of making it all happen. They did a really good job with that. It's just, you know, a matter of sticking the landing now. And I think they know, you know, WrestleMania can't go off the air with Roman still as champion.
Yeah. Just, when was the last feel good moment to end WrestleMania? Like, truly feel good.
Yeah, WrestleMania 30, I guess.
35, yes. Technically speaking, it was feel good to have Becky, you know, at the top. But in terms of feel good, definitely 30.
Yeah.
Well, I guess, like, 35, technically, yes. But
yeah,
did anybody
yes,
come away from 35 like, ah, this is how WrestleMania should end? No.
Yeah.
30, even to an extent, because, like, go ahead.
You could argue Kofi then. I mean, I know that that didn't end WrestleMania, but that's the last big feel-good moment in WrestleMania.
Well, I agree with that.
Well, that's what I mean, like, the main event. And this is why, I'm kind of yay and nay on Bryan, because it was feel-good to an extent, because it should have never happened that way. And it wasn't his first championship win. You know, this kind of, you know, goes back to Shawn winning his first belt. Austin winning the title for the first time.
I mean, in that case, you know, it's like almost Eddie and Benoit then, I guess, which...
Eddie and Benoit, Batista.
Yeah.
Like, it's been a while since you've had someone grind and grind and grind and get their moment, finally, in the main event of WrestleMania. And what I mean to get to that is, like, we have strayed so far away from, you know, the grand crownings at WrestleMania. And I think we do need to get back to that. We do need to get back to, because that's what, you know, a lot of these folks fucking live for. You know, when they get their moments, not just to win the title, you know, it's where they win it. It's how they win it.
Yeah, exactly. So,
you know, you talk about finish a story, that's a fucking story. That is a fucking story for Cody to do that at WrestleMania.
So I'm going to go Cody.
We're out of here. We will preview or recap WrestleMania 39, and then we'll also go in full with WrestleMania 23, one of my favorite WrestleManias. Damn, I wish I still had the DVD. It's all scratched up. It doesn't matter. But we hope you enjoy WrestleMania wherever you watch it. Be safe. Be responsible. If you're in California, have a good time. And then we'll all come and talk about it later on. Rob, what you guys got coming up on the Late Night Grind, man?
Yeah, we got some WrestleMania week stuff coming up. We will be doing a show called Deciding the Decade, where we talk about the best WrestleMania matches from each decade. That'll be Tuesday evening, twitch.tv/Late Night Grind. And then immediate post shows after both nights of WrestleMania. So I'll be on there. And then obviously we'll be back here to talk about it more. So yeah, a lot of fun stuff coming up.
Yeah, man. Tune into that. Do it for me because I'll be working and then trying to watch WrestleMania night one after the fact. That should be fucking fun. It's not like there's any good matches happening on Saturday. I am at Cameron Santo. That's where you can follow me. Real name's Pure Stuff, if you didn't already know that. That's a fucking tragedy if you didn't. Rob's at RobinO31. Chris is at Chris. I'm Novak. At BarberSharNet on Twitter and Instagram. Facebook.com/BarberSharedigital. The 4040 Club is coming back because baseball starts this week. Let's fucking go.
Hell yeah.
So be on the lookout for that, man. The BCNet.com for all of our content. Don't forget, rate us. Give us 5 stars. Subscribe wherever you listen and indulge in our stuff. Enjoy Mania. We'll see you guys next week. Have a good one.